Blog Talk Radio.
Come on, Jay.
Thank you.
That's when you know, baby. leave the details up to you.
Tell me the answers. Me and you isn't the answer. Me and you isn't. Maybe I'm telling myself that, but there ain't nothing that'll change that. What good would it be if I knew how you felt about me? Yeah. It could've been right, but I was wrong. Only think about you when you're alone. Part of me that cares is gone. And I know that I can't get caught up. We could've been, and we try to pretend. Every now and again, we don't dream about, don't think about what we could've been. No, I'm holding it in, cause I know in the end, you dream about, I think about what we could've been. We could've been. We could've been. Remember the night in Miami. First time you put your arms around me. I'm up reminiscing. Thinking about you isn't helping. Thinking about you doesn't tell me. What good it would do if I decide to face the truth. It could have been right, but I was wrong. I only think about you when you're gone. You only hit me up when you're not home. And that's why I can't get caught up. We could've been, and we try to pretend. Every now and again, we don't dream about, don't think about what we could've been. Oh, yeah. I'm holding it in, cause I know in the end, you dream about, I think about what we could've been. We could've been.
Gotta hide it, what's the point of trying? I ain't just a friend, no, what's the point of lying? Trying to tell a story, ain't nobody buying. Look me in my eyes, don't that feel nice? Why should it end? Baby, I could've been. I could've been to him or to your friend. Just say where to win, where to make a trip. Baby, make a wish, be the one I wish. Should've been a, should've, could've, would have been.
Hey.
Yeah, I would have been. Yeah, I would have been. Yeah. 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 Yeah.
다리 오른쪽에 앉아 창밖은 나보다 항상 밝아 마장동 정점 차고지부터 왕십리 옥수공호대교지 남해 남부정머리여 shit 이곳은 내 입시학원 연습실 다시 막차로 집에 돌아
Hold on, can y'all hear me? Oh, hold on for a second. Let me just do this.
That's the clear.
Yeah, no, my FaceTime kicked in and kicked me off. I was like, why's it kicking me off? Oh, okay. All right. So you can hear me, right? You can hear me?
Yeah.
All right, good. All right, guy. All right. So let's get this started. Welcome. Welcome one. Welcome all. Welcome two. Epiphany Radio Universe of Real Entertainment Network, the starship where we boldly go where poems have never gone before. Welcome to tonight to War Council. We back. You know, a lot of things happened in between. I had to take a siesta real quick. Great loss in my family. Lost my mom, so I was not really all together. Still not all together. Today is my brother's birthday. I had a really good conversation with somebody, and I'm going to do a nice little ceremony to honor my brother. I spent a lot of time on the phone with my father today. It was a very interesting conversation, but I will say for a fact, if you have family or friends and you're in sorrow, let them love on you. Let them care for you. Let them be there for you. You know, let them play in your hair, you know, grease your beard, whatever you got to do to self-care. Let them do it. You know, let people come to terms, because it's not an easy thing. And I had a really dope conversation with Dr. Tariq Tekhof today. We was on the phone for quite some time. And, you know, a lot of times, like, you know, you talk to people who've really been through it and how they feel about what it is that they feel. It helps you to get yourself together. You know, and so I was feeling someone. I was real, like real touchy over the weekend. So I got into arguments with people I never get into arguments with. So I get into arguments with Delwood all the time, but, like, we got into arguments. But, I don't never argue with Omari, you know. But I was just in a mood, and I just realized, like, it was the day. Like, I don't know how to feel, you know, with certain things. And you have to confront those things. Now, this is not what our show is about tonight. Tonight we're going to get into a whole bunch of stuff. So if you want to participate in the discussion, all right, because tonight we are talking about the Montgomery Mollywop, the Alabama ass beating. A whole bunch of good stuff. And, of course, a few other things in the public sphere, because you know what we do here at War Council. But let me read it officially so that you can understand that. All right, so... You know, I was going to sing a chair, still chair, but it's in bad form. But tonight we'll discuss all of those things that have been happening in the current time and how does it make us feel as a people when we see things like that. And you're welcome to participate in the discussion. Please press 1. I am horrible at reading numbers. So, you know, be like, oh, you should recognize my number. I'm not. I can't. The only way I know is raise your hand. Now, let me bring in some people that I'm sure that you are familiar with. You know, matter of fact, let me go to one of my best friends in the entire universe. One half of my favorite Philly Dons, the homie, my stromie, Danielle. Yay! Say what's up to the people.
Hey, what's good, y'all? What's good? I can't wait to get this discussion started. I actually just watched the whole video, and
yeah.
I see why they was called the Young Boy Aquaman. I'm like, what?
Yeah. Yeah. Forgive me, boss, man. I got to Yeah. Yeah. You really should put that on the shirt. You really should. It's a great thing.
He should.
We're gonna capitalize after that. You know, as a matter of fact, we just gonna throw some applause just for that. I warn people, I am a rare form. I don't give a shit. I am going to be somebody's fucking. I have not even had a drink. It's great. Not that I really drink, but you know, it helps. It helps.
I got you.
All right.
Matter
of fact. All right. So now we're gonna go over here to one of my other favorite people in the entire world. by way of Virginia to Alabama, the very famous Lisa Lips. Lisa Lips, how are you?
Hey, baby, I'm good. I'm glad to hear you laughing.
Yeah, well, nah, man, I'm telling you, I'm just telling you, y'all did it for me this weekend. I ain't gonna sit here and hold y'all. Like, being around y'all was like manna, you know, for me, for the kid, in many different ways.
It was for me as well.
Yeah, so it was great being around y'all. Great show, dope. Everything that was going on, you know, that dude who was DJ, he was really, really dope.
he was pretty fly.
I was like, yeah, sing me songs, sing all of these songs. Now, all right, so we're gonna go from you. We're gonna go to the OG. Mr. Lou Jaws of the Honey Drippers, you'll never find. Bling, 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 bling.
Yeah, man. What's up?
What's happening? My man, my guy.
Oh, man.
Yes, my guy.
Man, every day's up, how man. You know, I've been good, man. I mean, you know, I've been good. I've been up, I've been down. I mean, there's a lot of shit going on, so. You know, man, like cool folks say, life be life and like that. But, yeah, otherwise, I've been all right, man.
Nah, I feel you. I'm glad you're here, man. Long time. I don't get a chance to really, like, hang out with you the way I want to, but I promise you, I'm coming to Maryland. And I'm going to eat some crab and hang out with you. That's what we're going to do.
I feel you, brother. Man, yeah. But, I've just been chilling, man, you know. Family and friends and, you know, loving on the grandson, stuff like that there, man. But, yeah, man, my niece and nephew came over like a little while ago, man. You know, first thing they talk about, man, that Alabama beat down, man. You know, talking about, you know, folding chairs and sold out and certain food, you know.
listen. Oh, you got
certain retail outlets, you know,
a
whole lot of.
I'm telling you, you got to hold that thought, man. You got to hold it. You got to wait till you get to discuss it. We're going to hop right in. We introduce all our people. It's the way we go. All right. So we're going to go from you. We're going to go to our station manager, the Green Eye Bandit, but I can't call him a whole bunch of other things because he's married now, so I can't disrespect and call him all these other names I know him through. You know, the very freshly, the very dopely married. Formerly the Green Eye Bandit, now known as Carrie's Man, our station manager, Mr. Van Meadows. How are you, sir?
Hey, what's good, everybody? Doing good. Good to hear your voice, Mojave, in full swing. Glad to have you back. Hello, Lou Drow. La Perla Negra.
It's on you.
Good to hear you.
That by far is one of the coolest nicknames ever. What's
congratulations,
your name?
Brother. Brother Meadows. Congratulations, sir.
Thank you, my brother. Appreciate you.
He happy. You could tell. Man, matter of fact, I ain't seen Van smile that hard in all his pictures. I'm like about to break some Colgate. Break some Colgate. I'm telling you. You got that.
I was trying out for a commercial,
good,
bro.
Yeah, I'm telling you, you got that good smile. And man, I'll be surprised. I don't think Carrie let you out the house. I don't think you leave the house without the three H's, but we'll talk about that later. Anyway. I said, yo, Van is smiling more than I've ever seen him smile before. You know, I don't know. Man. It agrees with you. It agrees with you.
Supposed to be.
Everybody deserves
it. It agrees with you. It agrees with you. Now, also, let me go over here and get the other Epiphany diva. one half Queens Kings and Queens Quarters. I don't know if that's still applicable, but we'll see what happens. But y'all know her. Zawina, a.k.a. Queen Simmons. What's good?
Hey, y'all. How y'all doing?
Queen Simmons.
Congratulations. Congratulations to you for becoming the new one of the newest Honey Drippers, too. Aha.
Yes.
Thank you.
Oh, congratulations, Diva. Thank you. I'm very happy to be here. Thank you, guys.
She's like, I've been rolling with these Negroes for a year, and they ain't let me in till now.
It's all good.
Yeah.
Oh, Lord.
All right. Hold up. But let's hold up. Let me just throw music in the background. Let's just get to it. Now, we have to talk about this whole Alabama thing and what it was. So you know, we watched the video, right? And I'm gonna set it up. Now, if you're here and you're listening to the conversation, you want to participate, please press 1. The call-in number is 319-527-6300. Press 1 if you want to participate. All you gotta do is press 1. We'll see you. It's like raising your hand. We'll let you get in the conversation. I see certain people I can recognize them because I know their number, but if you want to participate, you got something to say, press 1. All right? We'll bring you in. We'll do everything else. We're also waiting for a couple other people to come in. The Eloquent One, Wendell, waiting for Dawood and everything else. They're on their way. Now, setting up the whole scenario. Now, according to reports, right, the people on the pontoon boat refused to move their boat because there was another ship trying to come in and dock, right? And the security guard, who was black, asked them to move their car. I moved their boat a myriad amount of times. Now, they took it upon themselves to attack said security guard, they being white, security guard being black, and they jumped them, right? Now, once they jumped them, right, in some way or some form or something else, what they thought that they were doing, I don't think that they expected the response that they got. And everyone who appeared in the place, I'm just leaving it at that, and then we're just going to open up the discussion, right, from that point. Now, in your humble opinion, and we'll just go through, what do you think happened?
What happened was exactly what was supposed to happen. They started that shit, and they got their asses whooped because of it. This is not back in the days of picking cotton and we scared of the whip and all of that other bullshit. And we coming for you, okay? And they deserve it. That sense of entitlement was knocked right the fuck out of their asses. And it was all due. Every last bit of a due was like, you get a chair, you get a chair, you get a chair, you get a chair.
Wait, hold on. We got to say something for everybody. Let everybody get their thing out. Hold on. So Lisa, let someone come to you. What? Since you live in Alabama, Lisa, let's, and,
right.
And what was the news report like?
Well, the news reports are still confusing, and today they claim they're looking for the guy who had the chair when they actually had him in custody the day of, and they let him go. Now they're pretending they don't know who he is, and they're looking for him and putting up video on TV trying to say they don't know who he is. But the political climate here has been weird since before the incident. I was in Montgomery the day before Trump's rally, and you could feel the energy in the air even beforehand. Trump was in Montgomery 2 days before this incident. So there were thousands of people at that Trump rally who were all pumped up with his rhetoric, and they were feeling themselves like they were when he was in office, So they thought they could do that. It was like that chick that from the January 6th thing that got maced and didn't understand why, because she was trying to go into Capitol and they maced her. They were like, oh, I can do that. I can get away with this. And then when they got retaliated upon, they were like, I don't know what happened.
I don't know what happened. All right, so I'm going to go from you. I'm going to go over here to Joe, the verbal mind dancer. Okay, Joe, since you live in our nation's capital, what's your opinion on the map?
Oh, man. Can you hear me okay, brother?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay. You know, my first thought, man, I'd be like, you know, what the fuck is going on with this thing? But, you know, looking at it, you know, those folks down there thought that, you know, this division was about us, you know, dividing us against each other and shit. You know, they forget, you know, there is some unity still within these ranks, you know what I'm saying? There is still some power, you know, in amongst the masses, you know. You know, they just think, you know, we overlook that because they see how we do against one another and all that, but, you know, they're not looking at the bottom line. That's like, you know, you can't stand somebody or something like that, but, you know, you're still family. But when that shit happened, you know, hey, man, family became family. Mm-hmm. We became family. A lot of people didn't know each other. It was a family thing. You know, mm-hmm. Brother swam across that water. Come on, man. That's some serious unity. They wouldn't have it.
Yeah,
shit. That's what I felt about this shit.
All right, so let me go over here to Mr. Van Metals, because Mr. Van Metals, literally, he got me out of my seat, because he's like, fuck, I'll do a show. He's like, I'll do it. I was like, nah, I got it. So Van, what was your opinion, sir?
I mean, my opinion was, first thing is, first, before we go any further, Joe the Verbal Mind Dancer said, let's give a shout out to the brother who swam across the water to be a part of this monumentous occasion to make himself known. Hey, I'm a young thoroughbred and I'm coming to support my man. See, everybody forgot the part when he got out the water and kicked off his shoes and then started wailing. Yeah. Go back to the video. You see, when he get out of the water, he kick off both shoes and then he commenced the whipping. But
I gotta add this addendum because this came in from Zuina. She said this meme in. So the top 10 names given to this young black hero: Aquaman. You gotta spell his man.
Aquaman.
21 Tilapia. Yeah, Aquaman. Number 7, Tariq Swinpatrick. Number 6, Catfish Cuz. Number 5, Johnny Gills. Number 4, Cuba Gooding Jr.
Cuba Gooding Jr. Oh, my God.
Number 3, C. Murder. Number 2, Martavius Phelps. And number 1, Shaquille O'Gillis.
Oh, Hilarious. But
I got another one that said his name was Jermichael B. Phelps and Stingray Leonard.
So
back to you, Van. What would you say?
Yeah, so my opinion on it was these white folks is getting out of hand with thinking that they have the autonomy, the authority to do whatever they want to do to black people. The issue that they didn't think was going to happen was that no one was going to come to this guy's aid. You're not going to commence a beatdown on a brother, and we be around and we allow that to happen. That is no longer going to happen. We are getting involved. Y'all have lost your minds, and you see what happened. And my man with the chair, hey, my man didn't care who was around. He was hitting whoever was non-melaninated. If you was close by, you was getting the chair.
Yeah. Yo.
For the news reports to say they were looking for him, man, they had the man in custody. They had him. They jumped on him as soon as he hit the woman. They jumped on him. But you had some of them police officers were standing around like, yeah, I don't know if I want to get in this because we don't know what's happening.
Yeah, matter of fact, let's put the police officers in the parking lot. We're gonna go back to that. But go ahead.
But you know, but the bottom line is the days of you thinking that our ancestors were gone. They were not here. They're in our DNA. Someone said we're here. They're here. And if you think you're going to beat one of us and get away with it, and we be by, we standing there, we be by. That's right, we be by. We're going to put these hands on whoever's doing the hitting because we're going to be the hitters as well.
All right, that's dope. That's super dope. Now we got to come back around. We're going to loop back around. We're going to go to Queen Simmons. Queen Simmons, you know, I know we had an intense conversation about this. Your opinion.
Well, you know, I think about it, like what Lisa Lipp said makes so much sense, like from up close and personal, and considering that, you know, the energy that they might have been feeling from the Trump rally and how they might have brought that energy to that particular thing and thought they were going to get away with it. But like I said to you earlier, he, you know, the dude that swam across the thing, he was like, oh, they took a trip through the Wishing Nigga Woods. He was laughing when he was swimming, like, oh yeah, okay, all right, that's what we're doing today. But yeah, I think there was an overall there's like a lot of tension built up because we sat by so long, and you know, you get all of these video images of just, and you feel so helpless to watch something just happen to people, to other black people, without any type of ramifications. But yeah, so it's like it was just due for like years. It's been built up, you know. And this is the first, it didn't turn into a riot. It was just, you know, serving out some, you know, some get back. And they served a lick back for a long time.
Right. Yeah. Now, the funny thing about it, which is funny, because I've been looking at the different arguments that people were having about it, like having about, like, you know, because people were like, we ain't our ancestors. But the funny thing is, you know, historically, when we're looking at what our ancestors had to endure, like, if you think about all the things that were set upon them, I remember I was having a conversation at Coffee Banks with Tom Kick and Marielle. And we were talking about Reconstruction, how Reconstruction was like a great time for black people in the South, you know, in the South, coming from certain things. And then they started reversing all the rules to take away things. We had people in Congress, people owning things, figure that stuff. And people felt like, we can't have this. But the survival tactics utilized by our ancestors, you know, like most people think that the step and fetch it thing is something about shiftless and lazy Negroes, but really it was a survival tactic in order to keep them from dying or overworking them breaking tools, you know, doing all of these different things. These were all different things that they did to act incompetent, you know, actually survival tactics, because they could literally work someone to death. And a lot of times when people were in a situation, you know, other than Nat Turner, there was other uprisings and revolts and people defending things in different parts of the country and doing stuff like that, you know, because of how people responded, you know. So the spirit and the strength of who we are as a people had always existed. We just had it disguised as something else. So when people like arguing for like, oh, we ain't our ancestors, so it's like, you know, not taking away from anything that anybody's saying. Our ancestors had to have a different spirit. Like my grandfather literally used to knock white men out by headbutting them. Now, I'm not saying I condone violence, but in those days, white men had, you know, black men didn't have any rights that white men need respect. And so when you get around something, my grandfather was known as a bad nigga. And I'm not, you know, just talking, just be talking. Like, he literally was known as a bad, because he could do the job of a white man, do it just as good, even though they paid him less. He would just do things in volume to make more money. And at the time, how my grandfather came from a free place in Florida, you know, and then moved up the coast all the way to New Jersey, where he built up the infrastructure of Red Spring, New Jersey. There's actual, like, articles around it because of how he moved and stuff like that. Like, back in those days, they used to Shanghai black people all the time and take them out to, like, farms and stuff like that and not let them leave, because indentured servitude existed everywhere, including New York. Like, for us, I think, in a sense, right? The one thing that I think that let me know that it was on, all right? And you can agree with me or not disagree with me, but when that brother threw his hat in the air, him throwing that hat in the air was like, fuck this job. He's like, fuck this job.
Yeah.
That's it. Yeah. Like, fuck this job. Fuck all this shit you talking. Fuck everything you talking about, you know. And it was crazy. Mm-hmm. But the thing that killed me was, like, the way they even jumped on him. Like, I was like,
yeah.
I was like, yo, these are very bad fighting people. I was like, these are very bad fighting people. Like, you wanna try to run, jump, and throw, what you throwing, a shoulder punch? I was like, what are they doing? Anyway, so here's my question, right? Right. When do you think that they knew they fucked up?
when the Avengers rolled up and pulled their shorts up in unison, it was like, oh no.
Oh no.
When they seen them niggas coming from the four corners
right.
of the universe.
All I see in my mind was that one brother with the short and no shirt just walking up going, somebody please help me.
Man, I don't know about y'all, but Doctor Strange opened
the day. From the water?
Right, right. Doctor Strange opened up some portals, and that's when they knew they messed up. We just popped out from everywhere when them portals opened up. So they tried to do what they wanted us to do. Back in the day, or even today, was get on the boat and leave. They tried to get on the boat and leave, but nah.
No, they were jumping off the boat.
Y'all can forget that. Y'all can forget that.
Was it? I want some facial recognition because I know when the brother walked up on the boat. I don't condone violence, but they had coming to him, right? Literally, right? When the brother came up to the boat and the dude was standing there. And he stole his face right there. He stole his face.
Yeah.
Yo, and just the look, like I couldn't tell clearly what his face looked like, but you know when somebody's having an oh shit moment. And the funny thing is, one of the ladies, she went to the end of the boat and was getting ready to climb off the back of the boat. I was like, oh, yo, this is some shit. This is some shit. It was crazy because, you know, like,
think,
it was just crazy. You said what? No, go ahead. You were saying?
No, I was saying I don't think any of us condone that violence, but it's about timing. And
right.
That day, that time,
yeah.
Right then and there.
Time was
yeah.
right.
They was like, we ain't scared of you motherfuckers. Oh, we coming for that ass. No, don't move. Don't move. Like with that chair. That was the best. Bop. Bop. Oh, you white too? Bop. You yourself too. Bop.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was the white women that jumped off the boat. The white women that jumped off the boat thinking they could be a Karen, thinking nobody was going to hit them, that cracked me up because they were totally, completely, and thoroughly confused when somebody actually hit them.
Mm-hmm. The sister was like, come here, Becky. Mm-mm. Nope. Come on, Sarah. You too. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. You can get some too. Come here. They were snatching that hair and yanking them bitches back. Excuse me. Like, what up? What up? They was
blocka,
like
blocka,
what do you call it? It was like a carousel of fists. Wah, 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 wah. It's just going around and around and around.
No, well, that's the thing that was crazy.
You see the uppercut.
Now, because the one thing is that one of the white men attacked the sister who was fighting a woman, and he jumped on her, mm-hmm. and then the brothers mm-hmm. got on it. Like they surrounded him. And then I was just like, mm-hmm. I was like, listen, I said, in this realm, I said, you know, the funny thing is, like, when we look at the history of Trump, like, you know, since we're bringing back to Trump, like, when he would have his whole thing, the way that they would treat black people because they thought that they could, like, the one where they have mm-hmm. the sister that they was pushing her, like, they and the veteran, he was pushing her as hard as he could push her. He was like this, right? So, and he thought he was mm-hmm. in that crowd, And he was doing all the – they was doing the most, right? And the funny thing is that when he was pushing to the crowd, and they found out who he was, and he lost everything because he's like, this is not who I am. I was like, no, that's exactly who the fuck you are. I was like, you took it upon yourself to be this particular right. person. You know, and right. to act in this particular way. It's just like the one white dude with the cowboy hat in North Carolina where he went and he elbowed the black dude, and then they arrested the black dude, which was crazy to me, right? Mm-hmm. And then when he got caught, he was like, oh, I'm not really this way. I'm like, no, you are exactly this way. This is your private thoughts on this transfer. This is exactly who y'all was. I said, y'all believed, y'all thought this thing in your head. You're running with this historical thing in your head and you're thinking, and then, you know, somebody got their ass whooped out their Crocs. Somebody got their ass whooped out their Crocs.
The Crocs got their ass whooped.
Oh, Crocs.
Woo!
You
know how
hard you have to drink your toes to come out of the front? And how hard you have to be trying to your feet.
Hey, man, those Crocs were saying, of all the days you decided to wear me, you chose to date?
No.
I ain't never seen nobody blow out both shoes at the same time.
You know, that's the thing that was crazy about it, because I was like, damn. I was like, yo, what kind of ass whooping you got that you got your Crocs? And you know, and it's funny,
right?
It's like,
right.
You had to take major damage, because I don't think Crocs is something that you can rip like that.
That's what I'm saying. I thought they were some durable ass, whatever they are. I don't own them there, so I don't know. But I thought they were durable. They wasn't able to withstand that ass whooping.
Right.
Which is crazy, because it's like, you know, and it's almost like, you know, you're talking about different things. Like, some people have that sense of entitlement is amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Like this sense of entitlement. So I mean, like let's put ourselves in issues, right? So imagine you having that type of entitlement where you and your little pontoon boat tells a big ass ship, nah, I ain't moving because I'm white. I ain't moving shit. And then when someone tells you, hey, you gotta move yourself. You get mad, and you decide you want to attack somebody. I'm gonna just attack you, you know?
Right.
And so, and the funny thing is, we're looking at this sense of entitlement. Now, here's the thing that I want to ask all y'all. All right, how do you think this fight has galvanized black people throughout the country?
Oh man. This thing has, I can't believe that we are the only ones that are feeling a sense of pride about this. Even though it was a violent thing, it served well. It was well overdue, because for all those years, even the smallest member in that white community was made to feel bigger and better. And made to feel like they were entitled to walk all over us at any given time. So, look, if you can't feel the energy in the air, I feel it come from all around the world. This shit feels good. And it was a beautiful, beautiful thing to see, okay, for us to come together, because we don't get an opportunity. I hate to say opportunity. We don't get an opportunity to come together like this, or we don't take advantage of it when we are being jumped on and treated like shit by members of society that are higher up, because our families are threatened and just our lives are threatened. We don't get a chance. We don't take advantage of that. So this is one time. This is black history being made. Okay, this day, black history has been made, and this is going to be remembered for lifetimes to come. This shit is going in the books and is never going to be made to be forgotten. So, look, I think it's being celebrated. Fuck it, it's violent, but it's being celebrated. They celebrate the violence against us all the time.
Right.
I don't see anything wrong with it.
Okay.
I feel like, especially being down here in the climate as it is, black people have gotten tired of being docile in every situation when it comes to a black and white thing. And this whole thing re-energized us to realize who we actually are and that we don't have to back away, that we have as much of a voice as anyone else, and we have a right to stand up for our own rights. They saw the modicum of this one black man. It was like, when he threw that hat up, it was like the bat signal. All the black people was like, huh? Let me go. And everybody backed up everybody. Everybody stood up for the fact that, first of all, that's an older, heavy-set black man who could not have fought them off on his own. And they knew that. But they weren't counting on the fact that there were other black people around that would go see what was going on and step into it. When them brothers came down that boardwalk with their shirts off and fists already balled up, white people were like, look out, what have we done? How are we getting out of this? I saw one white boy jump back in the water himself to keep from getting hit anymore.
Yes, he did.
Yeah. No, the commentary had me dying because that sister, she's like, that's what you get. Like, I realized a bunch of people who have platforms, like Joy Ann Reid from MSNBC, did not give a fuck with the shit. She's posing. She's like, I don't condone violence, but hey, listen. Who else? Van Queen Joe.
I believe that it definitely shows that we can set aside whatever animosity or any differences that we have towards each other to unite for a cause that doesn't involve us actually destroying our city. Right?
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Because most of the times when we see us unite together like this, it's because one of us was murdered in the streets and we want to destroy the city where it happened and where we live. No, we don't condone violence. However, somebody needs to step in when someone else is being done wrong. And if those of us who are not of a melaninated nature is not going to help, I mean, the one lady did look like she was trying to pull the guy off, but at that same time when she was trying to pull the one guy off, then another white guy came out of nowhere and just started beating on him too. So in my opinion, for us to stand by and allow it to happen, we would have been looked down even worse than what we are now. But this definitely, in my opinion, united us in a way that white America thought that they would never see. Oh, they unite against us. What are we doing?
The same thing they've been doing wrong forever. It's just never been checked before.
I mean, there's a lot of different things to look at, but I'm gonna reserve that. I definitely want to hear from you, Joe, and I definitely want to hear you from you, Queen Simmons. Joe, your opinion? Joe, you there?
Oh, man, my bad. My bad. Man, you know, to me it was like a wake-up call. You know, there's been a lot of complacency going on, you know, and all the all this reality bullshit and all this complacency about what's going on and what's being, you know, portrayed out there in the real world, man. People not observing properly. They're not looking at it right, you know. To me, that was like an Emmett Till moment, man.
Yes.
You know, the motherfuckers just nah. No, we didn't have this, you know. This is what's going on right now. People need to see what's really happening out there, man. You know, they spewing all this woke bullshit and all that, you know, y'all talk about, you know, this historic moment. Hey, they gonna try to ban it? Are they gonna try to erase it? You know, they doing some crazy shit with the school system now. They get loose. I mean, this is, you know, eventually, right. You know, it's like, you know, first scene of a civil war, because it's coming down to it. Bottom line, it's coming down to it. That's just my opinion.
It's coming down.
It's too much stuff being spewed out there. And if they let this fool get off, what's going on with this, you know, with 45, man? Shit.
Talk about it, brother.
Listen.
You know they want to kill King for doing the right thing, you know, shit. To start icing motherfuckers for doing the wrong thing. Fuck it.
Right.
That's just my opinion.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well,
right.
You know what? I'm gonna put that in the parking lot because I definitely want to deal with that later. But Queen Simmons, your opinion?
I mean, I just feel like it is galvanizing us. I think it is. So, like, think about it. When I woke up, that was the first thing. Like, I saw the full video. It was the first thing that came across my timeline before the meme, so I didn't know what it was. And my stomach, like, sank because I'm like, okay, it's going to be another video of a black guy just getting beat down while somebody is somewhere recording. And you're like, why isn't somebody doing something? And then a little bit of everybody came through and did something. And it was just feeling like, you know, it's possible. Like, I think about how, you know, they've never been the time for hand-to-hand combat. That's never been their forte. You know what I mean? Because if you think about how we lost so many leaders when it's like they cut them right down in front of you, broad daylight, like it means nothing. It was meant to put it so that you always had that thing like somebody needs to do something, but just not me. I don't have the power to do it. And then I feel like this put it in a place where more people felt like one person or two people, however many, all came together at the same time and decided it all, you know, accumulated into a bunch of us deciding to do something, to make a move instead of just feeling helpless behind a camera and seeing all these things take place that we had time and time and time again. But like that t-shirt that came out around the time when everybody started acting up, women was like, don't let your president, let your little president get your ass whooped.
I like that.
Yeah. You know, because I think that you can only suppress a community so much before something actually happens and people figure it out. I mean, when we talk about the things that are divisive towards our community that keeps us apart, whether it be gangs, whether it be drugs, people trying to use that. You know, the fact of genocide in the form of different things that are meted upon our community on a daily basis, you know, and us being the faces. But, you know, one of the things that I studied was how drugs move into the country, you know, and then they discovered that the CIA was doing a lot of, like, Snowfall talks about that and stuff. I'm not saying, you know, it's not fictional, but it's based on real facts, people doing real shit, you know, to meet the communities and do those things to our particular communities to break them up. You know, whether it's building highways through our communities to break our communities up, whether it's, you know, basically doing the same thing, you know, to kill our communities when we have successful, whether it be Greenville or Rosewood, all these different communities we build up and stuff like that where people would be upset, be jealous and come and destroy our communities and nothing would happen to them. And there'd be no reparations for anything that happens. There's all of these different things are, you know, where we get tired, you know, like we get tired of marching. You get tired of marching, you know, and when a community burns up in flames, you know, it is really the historic upset of how people are. And I think, in a sense, you know, not to condone the violence of it, but people weren't going to stop. And the funny thing I want to point out is that a lot of the employees from that particular boat got off that boat and came to see the people. They were all wearing the same shirts. You know, some of it was for people who were for a union, but the people in particular shirts were employees of that particular boat, right? And nobody was having that shit because there's so many situations where we get killed and nothing happens. And then the funny thing is they get to vilify the victim as much as they want to. They get to talk about everything else. You know, when Tamir Rice was died, you know, the person who was the DA muddied the water. He said literally, you know, they just want money from us. Right. Never mind that the dude didn't get get out the car and shot Tamir Rice in 1.5 seconds, and they tried to let him bleed out. Never mind that his sister, who was there, that they threw her in the back seat in handcuffs and had her jumping up and down and screaming at the thing, that somebody reported that he had a gun. I said, I think it's a toy gun, but I don't know. The person, and it's always this whole Karenicity type thing that happens around certain things. And I'm pretty sure if nobody had responded to him, they would have found a way to villainize that black man, even though for a fact, right, according to the article, because I have the article right here, right, so I'm just go through it real quick, right? Three white men faced assault charges in Alabama riverfront brawl. Three arrest warrants were issued Tuesday by authorities in Montgomery, Alabama, relating to the chaotic riverfront brawl that broke out Saturday, which punches were thrown, people were hit with chairs. Every time I read this, it makes me laugh. People were hit with chairs and others were thrown in the river. Montgomery Police Chief Darrell Albert announced on Tuesday that one man is in custody and two others were expected to turn themselves in. Montgomery Mayor Stephen Reed said none of the three are residents of this city. None of the three are residents of this city. Three white men named by Montgomery Police were Richard Roberts, 48, who faces two charges of assault, Allen Todd, 23, and Zachary Shipman, 25, both facing one charge of assault. But police also asked that 40-year-old Reggie Gray, who was black, come in police for questioning over allegations that he was violently swinging a chair during the brawl. Sorry, that's hilarious. The Montgomery advisor had reported that the police chief said at a press conference that the investigation is ongoing and more charges are possible. He noted that no charges related to hate crimes or riot were expected at this time. All right. Albert described the brawl as starting when Damian Pickett, the co-captain of the riverboat called the Harriet II, who is black, asked the white owners of the private boat, who had docked their craft in a riverfront space designated for the Harriet II, to move, which means they were parked wrong. They didn't need to be there. They shouldn't have had their asses there in the first place. He confirmed that the riverboat was returned from a two-hour tour with 227 passengers and could not dock for at least 45 minutes after the request to move his obstructing boat were met with curse words, obscene gestures, and taunting. The white boaters then allegedly assaulted the riverboat worker while one black riverboat passenger dove in the Alabama River and swam ashore to Pickett's aid, Aquaman. Once Harry docked, a number of black passengers engaged the white voters. The racial contours of the fight, coupled with Montgomery's historic connections to the civil rights movement, spurred millions of views for multiple videos of the brawl posting online. So, all right, excuse my terminology, I'm going to talk real slack. These fuckers weren't even from Montgomery, met people, gave them the amount of fucking entitlement, and then after being told, made people wait for a boat that's not even their space. So I don't understand. Mm-hmm. The charges, they should be brought up on trespassing. There's a whole bunch of shit that's going on, trespassing. You know, not just assault. You know, we talk about this and met with obscene gestures, but, you know, that type of thing is going on. These fuckers really thought they had it in them, that they could do this shit.
Mm-hmm.
And mm-hmm. folks, for me, you know, I'm going to speak for me. I'm not speaking for anybody else. My views are not reflective of the Fifth Mirror Universe or any other organization I happen to belong to or run. They needed their ass beat. They need it.
Yeah.
Because, you know, it's like when your kid be cutting up and you be like, listen, you end up getting your ass beat, and then your kid, and then they learn the lesson, they go, I ain't going to do that again. Yep, they needed that. They honestly,
yeah, that part.
You know, because what? you're gonna leave your boat there for 45 minutes and meet people with obscene gestures and cuss words and everything else like that. You know, I want to see how they're going to play victim. That's all I want to see. I want to see how they're going to play victim. I just want to know. How they're going to play victim. You know, this is like,
yeah,
all the
without
when
the initial, you was wrong to get go part. Shit. Explain the way you was wrong in the get go part.
Mm-hmm.
Dead ass. And I'm like, man, listen, this is real crazy shit. Where there's a whole bunch of things that's going on. you know, so can you imagine the next couple of marches that might happen out if there's a whole bunch of people with folding chairs?
Yeah.
Yeah. They're going to have folding chairs in this. You're gonna have a bunch. They're going to be out there with folded tears. They're going to have one. Yo, this one has a slip cover.
They're
going to have one with head drip. But we got that folded chair for you. Yo, yo, listen, here's some dicks. Oz got hand grips, bro.
I can see
along with
I can see the brand new instead of beware of dogs signs, it'd be beware of folding chairs.
Chair folding chair on premises.
Right, right, right.
You get a brand new meeting to a city in it.
Right. Yeah. It's gonna be a whole.
I ain't gonna be able to look at them chairs the same again. I hope I go somewhere and see a folding chair because I'm gonna fall out laughing. I'm totally like that. Oh my god. That's
you know somebody gonna be like the police gonna be like yo. They'll be like, listen, we're going to have to do something about these folding chairs. There's at least 10 vendors out here with folding chairs.
Right.
They got
to have a permit to buy a folding chair.
Hey, the beach will never be the same again. Beware of sharks. No, beware of chairs.
That's right. This property was protected by Smith & Wesson. Now it's protected by folding chairs.
Yo, everybody, welcome back to War Council. Eloquent one, Mr.
Cheers,
Wendell Berry.
Oh, this franchise store, chairs are up.
Oh, man.
It's going to be a whole different thing. It'd be like, like, are y'all really marching with these chairs? We sure are.
Right. Go ahead. Sit in it if you did.
You know our people are special. You know somebody's going to develop a folding chair that fits in the back of your pocket.
Bruh. I can see it now.
It's a whole new Mortal Kombat character.
Yes, sir. Well, you better believe it. Finish him.
Tear style.
Can you imagine the finishing move, got the soul coming out the body, the chair just striking it at the right time? Oh, my God. For the ancestors.
Like, go home and be a family.
Someone has to, you know, a great tag team, a tag team duo will be Chitaro and Kung Lao with that hat.
Oh my God!
Kung
yes,
Lao
sir.
Throw the hat up
yes,
in the
sir.
Air, and Chitaro comes up like a dog crap.
You know, you finish the movie, hit them with the chair, and when they hit the chair, they explode and fall into the water.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Oh, man. Y'all welcome, Wendell. Mr. Berry. Welcome,
hey,
Wendell.
You
back to
chat. Okay.
Oh, man. So real quick, Wendell. Since you came in, we know you was coming in late. So, you know, because you had your important stuff going on. So, your opinion, please, sir. Give us your opinion on it.
On the whole situation. I mean, this is, I would say, this is a down payment on emotional reparation.
Thank you. Yeah.
Yeah, just to see the the young brother jump off the boat and swim across the dock in order to insert himself to see Aquaman. Swim across the dock to insert himself into the fisticuff to see Uncle Earl arm himself with the folding chair and engage in the ancient art of whatever's around is all I need to whoop your ass. To see the whole group of brothers bum rush the boat and yank those dudes out of the boat and then commence to giving them a Wakanda whooping.
It was beautiful.
It was beautiful. They came in there hollering out, Ibambe. I could just hear in my imagination, I could just hear the brother who threw the hat up in the air hollering out, Mepa! Mepa! Yes.
Your came out
as the entire
crew, okay?
As the entire cast, the entire slew of brothers and sisters came from various locations. I could just hear in my imagination. Now witness the might of the Jabari.
Somebody's going to do it. Somebody's going to do it. You know they're going to do it. Somebody's going to do it.
Somebody's going to do it.
Can we give an honorable mention to the senior citizen that grabbed that other senior citizen white dude and was beating him like he was the second coming of Mike Tyson? Can we acknowledge him, because he commenced this. And then I think that might have been his friend or somebody, because they look like they were together. Then they both start wailing on that guy. That was before the guy started hitting with the chair, because then the guy hit him with the chair and it was over. He was laid out on the ground, and then the white woman, she just happened to be in the wrong place at the wrong time, so she got hit.
Yes. This was the... This was the exponential expression of the urban colloquialism, fuck around and fight out.
Absolutely.
Fuck around and find out. And that is definitely because the Queen Sims killed me there. She said, I wish a nigga would. I was like, end it. End it. And will. And,
you know,
oh
like,
man,
you know, like,
oh man,
but I was like,
I mean, just,
I was like, bugging
can we just,
you know,
all raise up the, just for a second, I just want to say this right quick, in light of this momentous occasion and the institution, the installing of August 5th as a, you know, Cinco de Agosto, Cinco de Agua, we have an adaptation of the Negro National Anthem, Lift Every Chair and Swing. Lift Every Chair and Swing, beat out the sonic rings.
Oh man!
I love it.
I love
my people. Yeah, I've laughed so long.
Okay. I'm done.
I'm like, real motherfucking tears, like dead ass, like which is funny because, you know, like, and the funny thing is, like, I was having a conversation with Tariq because Tariq's like, shit, this is a fucking national holiday. Just like he's like, I'm marking this shit in my calendar. he's like, listen, we gonna take off. We gonna sit in these chairs, hope nobody say nothing or do something.
Right.
Say nothing to me. But, you know, but the funny thing about the idea of making it is because we already know like somebody's gonna be stupid enough to try to be like, okay, well, we're gonna mount a response, and I was like, nah, I need this to keep the same energy. I said, because, like, literally, when we get attacked or certain things, like, I had to teach this book, and I was telling Queen Simmons about it. It's called Leon's Story, and it talks about him growing up in the South where these white teens ran over his father and killed him, and that the father of the teen showed up, gave the mother $100, you know, gave the mother $100 and made the boy apologize as they went on it. And it was like all these different things. I was like, there are countless instances where we've been assaulted, maimed, killed, you know, disfigured, hurt, raped, you know, all kinds of molested, right, by people who keep that same type of energy because they believe they're entitled to do things because they think that we have second-class citizenship, we are subhuman, or do something. Like, there are actual photographs of people, you know, strange fruit, where basically, you know, blood on vibe, blood on leaves, where black men were being hung. Picnics is basically pick a nigga, you know, for a Saturday night that they can go and hang somebody. You know, James Boyer Bros. And, like, we can look at all the history of where our fates were tied to people wanting to do things to us because of the way that they felt. And so when you said emotional reparations, you know, what made me think is because the way that brother was swinging that chair, that came from way down deep. That came from way down deep. There's something in his soul that made him swing that chair the way he did.
I mean, and I could have swore I saw some sonic rings come out of that dude's head.
Yo, somebody's going to do
sure
it.
Did.
Somebody's going to do it. And the thing is that,
sure,
you know, like, when we talk about history and people try to make it like, this is one of the reasons why I don't like Ron DeSantis, because the way that he's trying to go about in Africa, you know, you gain some skills from slavery. Motherfucker, what kind of skills did we gain? Motherfucker, what the fuck are you telling me? How are you trying to teach this shit? Why are you in this? And it's like, our most virulent racist people are before us doing the shit that they're doing, trying to disclose and do everything else because they want to keep this second, you know, class status. And you get to the point where people are not going to take it no more. You know what I'm saying? People are not gonna stand behind it, not gonna allow certain things to happen. You know, I know for a fact that I can't let any sister be in an argument with some strange white man that's running up on her and think that he can. You know, we think about some of the stuff that's happened, you know, and I think in this instance, like, the galvanization was thing, and the funny thing is, like, it went out so far that everybody is cheering for it, not because they enjoy the violence, it's because we finally took a stand for each other in the public eye, like, and everybody was involved. Every single person was involved. Nobody was like, nobody's with the shit in one of the most racist places on the face of the planet, you know, which is Alabama. From their politics on down, you know, the cost, you know, the way that they do their errands, the way they just structure things around black folks, it's all there. And I think that you know, that emotional reparations, as you said, Wendell, is the thing that happens when we have a situation like this. You know, violence sparked it, but those things were actually waiting underneath the surface to explode. You know, anybody else have another opinion on that?
Okay. Yeah. Also, think about, like, I heard him of it, speaking about the things that actually took place at that particular dock, you know, a long time ago, you know, like, it's towards slavery and things like that, like, things, all the things that you were saying took place that are under the surface took place at that particular location as well, from my understanding. I just think my only concern now is, like, you know, how is it, you know, what's going to happen next? What's going to be our next move? Because I feel like historically,
we have a tendency, they just like, you know, put a little rope around our rage for a riot, and then, you know, you get back to business as usual after your rage simmers down. But it's like, okay, now we see that we can actually work together and do more to change, either something, you know, like that particular situation. I would love to see us put that towards something else, because I don't think it's going to go unanswered for, and I just wonder how prepared we are for whatever comes next.
Now, well, you know what? I believe that's the same thing that also happens, because there's always a bunch of people who decide to do things to people based off of what it is. And I think that we have a bunch of cases of black people being in certain situations. We still have sundown towns. We still have them. We still have places where black people don't dare to go into that town after dark. You know, we have places where in Texas where people have disappeared and they found their bodies days later, you know, because of all the things that have been done to it. Like, you know, these things actually still exist right now. Like, matter of fact, there was the thing where the dude was in Ohio, I believe, and they were trying to take him, you know, and his white friends, like, they were jumping on him. His white friends weren't doing shit except filming. And they were really trying to take him. And in that same specific area, two other black people had disappeared, and they haven't really investigated that very well. But literally, they were trying to take him from his friends, right? So we know that these situations actually still do happen and exist in this country as of today. Oh, yeah. So, you know, you know, it's all in different places. And my thing is, like, you know, depending on people getting serious use of what they're doing, like, I know for a fact a couple towns over from me, there's a nice little nest of people who love to be racist and do certain things and have attacked students and did all kinds of different things, and nothing's happened to them. And they're right here in Long Island. So, I mean, like, you know, I can't even imagine what it's like to be somewhere else where, you know, this is like, you know, the rule of thumb, not the law, but, you know, you know how people are actually doing shit. But that's crazy. All right, so I'm gonna close this topic out. We're going to get our last words in. Anybody else going? Because we're going to move to the next topic. And, you know, I wasn't playing music. Matter of fact, I got to do a station identifier because I haven't done that yet. But we want to close out, take three comments. Who'd like to go?
Oh, happy day.
Look, if you buck.
Lift every chair and swing. Knock out those sonic rings. Knocking them out with these black paws and things. Swimming against the tide. Beating those white behinds.
Oh, God.
Paying them back, making black history.
I got a fist in the air right now.
Right? Solidarity among us.
Yeah.
Classic.
This is beautiful, man. I can't wait to listen to the replay of this, Jordan. This is beautiful. Oh, my God. Oh, Lord. Hob, you still there?
Okay, now I'm back.
Well, Hobby?
Yeah, it kicked me out. Hold on. Hello? All right, y'all can hear me now, right?
Yeah,
you missed the beautiful, beautiful sonnet. Wow, what's that?
No, I'm sorry. It kicked me out. It kicked me out, like, and it was like, it's like crazy. I'm glad it's not after 11 because that would have been in the episode. But I was like, damn. Mm-hmm. I was like, and it wouldn't let me back in either. It was like, give me problems. So I was like, what the hell? But you know, that's what it is. But I mean, anybody else have anything to finish up before we move on to this new thing?
I think Wendell just gave us the benediction for this segment.
Yes, he did. I'm trying to tell you. I'm telling you, have I put a fist in the air. Yes, it was beautiful. It was lovely. Oh, my God.
All right. So we got area code 504. Who master speaking? Area code 504. Hello?
What?
Area code 504. Area code 504, who master speaking? Oh, what's up? No, we figured out who it was. That's Drippy. Drippy and Casey. What's good?
Hey. What's happening?
What's going on? What's happening, y'all? Y'all wanted to contribute to the discussion?
Nope. Nobody wants that.
Nobody wants to smoke on that one? Okay.
No, nobody wants it.
All right. So fair enough. All right. So we're going to go over here to this next thing. So we're going to close this topic out. All right. And so hopefully my bookmarks is where they're supposed to be. All right. So how do y'all feel about Lizzo's lawsuit? I'll just read this to you real quick. So the lawsuit is by her former dancers, all right, and her team alleges sexual harassment and creation of a hostile working environment, right? They filed a lawsuit against her production company, the dance captain, alleging sexual harassment, creating a hostile work environment in the suit. Ariana Davis, Crystal Williams, and Noel Rodriguez described various incidents which Lizzo, who is known for promoting body positivity, allegedly weight shamed and mistreated her employees. Right, and there was also a circumstance where they were in another country and they were told to catch dildos, right? And so one of the dancers said, while she never experienced blatant fat phobia, she believes that she's been called out something for her weight. It was very nuanced and very underlying underneath all the other issues that were going on. I just had this feeling that they had a problem with the way I was gaining weight and looking at different. I wasn't the same when they first cast me, right? And so The sexual harassment is this year at an Amsterdam strip club. Lizzo pressured her to touch the breast of a nude woman on stage. Davis said no, but she led a group chant to pressure her, demanding a visibly uncomfortable Davis to engage with the performer. After being pressured, Davis briefly touched the performer's breast, and she's like, I was very mortified, and everyone burst into laughter. And then she began pressuring a member of her security staff to get on stage and take it off. The players were aghast for how little regard Lizzo showed for the bodily autonomy of her employees and those around her, especially in the presence of many people whom she employed. You know, so what do y'all think about that? How do y'all feel about someone who now this is all allegedly, you know, in the lawsuit, and don't know if it's true or not, but someone who promotes body positivity, literally fat shaming and creating a hostile work environment around and sexual harassment. So what is your opinion on that?
Hello. She could be a real bitch behind the scenes. Who knows? You never know.
I mean, that's going to happen. Scott, welcome to War Council.
Man, y'all are good Lord. How y'all doing tonight?
We good. What's going on, buddy?
Mm-hmm. I got the message about War Council, and I got on, and y'all had me cracking up so hard, I'm almost hoarse. So I'm listening for this go-round. I'm hoping we make it back to Lift Every Chair and Swing. I'm just saying.
Yo, oh, shit.
I pray y'all run it back. I know you're on Lizzo now. I'm sorry. I don't mean to break the radio show today. I'm just so broke over that right now.
Yeah. Yo, man, it's so broke. We're going to go back to Lizzo thing. So just open opinions. What do y'all think about this suit? Do you think that, all right, so, you know, like usually with stars, like some people will sue because they know they're going to get money either in a settlement or something like that, you know, especially if they have anything that happens. But if they're talking about very specific instances where these things took place, you know, what you said, subtle and nuanced, I don't know about that. But if you've actually been pressuring someone on stage in a particular nightclub, get a couple witnesses, that's over with. So what do y'all believe?
I got to disagree.
You guys disagree? All right, go ahead.
Only because, first of all, you're grown. Did nobody make you go to the nudie club, as the old people say? And I don't care how much peer pressure it is. If I'm really too mortified to do something, I'm not going to do it. Y'all, and you know that. So, like, you know, I have never read poetry on stage and don't plan to, right? And I don't care how much peer pressure I get about, yeah, you should read out loud. I don't want to do it, and I'm not going to do it. So, like, you're grown. If you know you are going to be mortified in that type of social situation, stay away from that situation. If you're in the, you have voluntarily put yourself in the situation, because it's not like she said go to the nudie club and you will be fired, so there's no coercion that's alleged in the suit. Then once you get there,
there's no coercion, as we know. Things can be implied.
Right.
The implications behind that. Like if you're on tour, you're on tour with everybody, and you've been with this person,
right,
and it's being implied that you need to go, there is an implication involved. And coercion.
I used to skip out on a lot of social situations that were work related that white folks tried to make me go to that I knew I was going to be uncomfortable in because I'm black. But you know, the potato, the raisins in the potato salad crowd, you know, always imply that you'll go or you're not a team player. Well,
yeah.
You know, either you go Ryan or you go. You know what I'm saying? You got to be grown. But you know, and I also find it weird that, like, and don't get me wrong, I ain't no big Lizzo fan. I'm not. And I think we've all learned from R. Kelly that there is definitely an organizational structure around these celebrities that allows for bad behavior, right? See, also T.I. and Tiny. But with a sex party, right? So, you know, it's a very nuanced allegations that they're making too. When part of the reason that they got fired from the tour was because of their own admitted bad behavior, also. So there was also some wild stuff that they was doing and admitted to doing, and then they want to come back later on and claim hostile work environment. Well, did it become hostile after you did the wild shit you got fired for? Because you know, that's, you know, you can kind of see that kind of track. Like, you did some wild shit and people treated you shitty for a couple of weeks before you finally got fired. That kind of track.
I mean,
you know.
I mean, that could be.
I mean, that's a risk slippery slope right there.
And also, if you are hired for a job where your physical appearance matters, as she said, you know, they kind of were looking at her different about her weight gain throughout tour or whatever. Well, any professional dancer, whether you're a plus size or not plus size, if you're hired for a tour, that's like a Rockette saying, I'm going to put on 5, 10, 15 pounds. No, you're not. And not still be a Rockette on stage. You see what I'm saying? But because you're in the plus size chorus line, your weight shouldn't matter? No. You still have a weight criteria to uphold as well. So it's like, mm-hmm. it's probably written into your contract somewhere that like, hey, plus or minus so much amount of weight.
We're getting into the weeds on this one. Like we don't know what the contract states. We don't know what's in the NDA. We don't know any of these particular things. All we know is that there's been litigation brought before everything else. So we can only deal with the facts of the court of public opinion and how those things happen.
This is all hypothetical.
Hold on, case. Because we got to let other people talk. You know, love what you're saying, but we got to make sure that we get everybody's opinion on this. All right, so anybody else have an opinion that they'd like to mount or a rebuttal to what Casey's saying?
I agree with Casey and also, part of being on tour is being costumed. So if your weight is fluctuating to the point where your costumes don't fit, then that is a expense that has to be considered on the tour as well. But having seen some of the backstage stuff and seeing how Lizzo runs her show, she's very particular about how she wants things to go. But there were also allegations prior to all of this that these same women were drinking prior to the shows and missing steps. So they were already in jeopardy because of things they had done themselves that had been addressed prior to all of this. So who knows, you know, one thing's feeding the other, I think.
Hey, anyone else have a matter of fact, we're joined by area code 321. Who master speaking?
Definitely can't hear y'all. I'm over here giggling, and Casey pretty much said literally what I was about to say. I had posted in the chat. I feel the same way. If you pissy after the fact, then I'm looking at you suspect to begin with. And if you got yourself up in a strip club, how you all of a sudden mortified to somebody try to encourage you to type of thing? I don't believe in it.
I mean that can happen. You know. I know that certain people will bring suits against superstars because they know that they'll settle out of it because, you know, their reputation in the public eye happens to a particular thing. And, you know, it's kind of scandalous to say someone who promotes body positivity is having fat shaming against their own dancers. That's wild. But, you know, we have a tendency to believe certain things when they're put before the court as opposed to anything else. So, you know, like, these things actually do occur. You know, so going with that, you know, anybody have any other opinion on this to see how this is working out with Lizzo in particular?
I've been positive. She don't get the right to plant shame, but she don't get to say, because she's a big girl, she don't ever get to say something reckless. Is that what we're saying?
No, that's not what I'm saying. But before I get into that, because I know Joe wanted to say something, I'm going to loop back around to you. So I'm going to let Joe go, and I'm going to come back to you, Malika. Go ahead, Joe.
Yo, I mean, you know, things like that do happen, man. You know, but I mean, you know, I don't know if, you know, she's getting a lot of positive views, you know, in her social life or, you know, entertainment-wise or negative. I'm not sure about what's going on with that. But, yeah, stuff like that does happen. You know, hey, you know, like I say, it's a ledge, but, you know, it could be fat. Because in that type of business, that's when a thing happens a lot. You know, recording industry, you know, acting, you name it, it happens.
Mm-hmm.
So I mean, you know, it's kind of disturbing because you know, she's cool, you know. I dig what she's doing, you know, for a lot of you know, women of that type, that style, and all that. That's a good thing. It's positive. But you know, hey, you know, if she's doing shit like that and it's real, that ain't good.
Okay.
But I can understand, like, industry standards as well. Yeah. So go ahead.
Yeah.
Okay, bet. So, yeah, Malikia, back to you. Hold on, Waddell. I'm going to go to Malikia, then I'm going to come to you. Malikia. All right.
So this is called, like, be honest with you, because she's body positive, because she's brought a whole different thing to the stage.
Because she's white. I didn't hear you because you were a little bit muffled. Go ahead. Say what you were saying, Malika. Hello? Malika, you there?
I think she dropped.
Yeah, she dropped. Wendell.
Yeah, I was going to say that, two opposing perspectives and viewpoints can in this case, obviously exist in the same person. I mean, just because someone is a promoter of body positivity doesn't make them immune to being a perpetrator of fat shaming. But it's always easier to recognize it and be an advocate when you're a victim of it or when you're on the receiving side of the shame. But then, you try to, hide behind that shield when you're on the giving side and, just speaks to the double standard, So there's definitely some hypocrisy, that's going on there. And, people who stand up for seemingly just or righteous causes are not, by definition, immune to hypocrisy. And because she's not immune to hypocrisy, she's also not immune to the consequences of the actions that come as a result of her hypocrisy. So if she's getting sued for fat shaming or body shaming, even though she's a proponent of body positivity, well, then that means now she has that much more experience and education with what it's like to be on both ends of that spectrum. As it pertains to the young lady who was suing for the sexual harassment, this is about power. How many times have we heard of women who have said something to the effect of they withdrew consent after the act began, and because their wishes weren't honored, that now they are accusing the person who they may have initially went into a sexual encounter with voluntarily and willingly, now that person is being accused of of rape, so respecting people's autonomy is a big thing. And just because you go into a strip club doesn't mean that you want to, suck a dick, just because, or have someone, you want to fondle someone's breast, it's not an implication that one is a predecessor or a precursor to the other. And so if a person says no, then you respect that. But with Lizzo leading the chant, I can only imagine they're saying, do it, do it, do it. And everybody is chanting and goading on, and this person who didn't want to engage in that act is feeling the pressure, feeling that social pressure to do something that they don't want to do, and they did it just to get the attention off of them. But they, it was a boundary that was crossed. So, I can see all of that. And it would be intellectually dishonest to say that could not be a possible a possible case, of what happened here, because that's, in other situations, people can use their imaginations and give credence to a victim's side of the story, and say, yeah, I can see how that. How that can happen. So yeah. And so if she's found guilty of it, then she need to pay. Because just because you're a woman doesn't mean that you can't be a predator. Just because
facts.
Yeah.
No, that's actually true. And actually, yeah. Yeah. Scott.
Yeah, that's Scott. So, I'm here listening, and my only thought is this on this subject, because a lot of things are alleged. Maybe it happened, maybe it didn't,
who knows, maybe it'll all get worked out in court or public opinion. But one thing that I can say for certain out of this whole case, it is the responsibility of someone who wants to seek out employment. They need to check. They need to see what's in that contract as far as more than just, you know, what they're getting paid. You know, in the contract, it talks about their responsibilities to the company. Well, you should also be checking what is the company going to be responsible to you for? How is their conduct? What are they standing for? What are they going to assure you in their behavior towards you more than just a paycheck? You know, that's why you know, in different companies, you got HR and everything else. In some organizations, you don't. And when you come into an organization and you get all excited about the fact, I got a paycheck, I'm going on tour, I'm with this one, I'm with that one, or I'm going to be here, there, and everywhere, but didn't read if there was even any fine print as to how you were going to be treated, and then you get shocked. I mean, you know, I believe we have to take a certain level of responsibility to do our due diligence as to where we're putting ourselves. Because short of Vietnam, nobody's being drafted. We're all volunteering for this stuff. So, I don't know. That's just my point.
That's a good point. Bro.
I mean, that's a good point.
That's a good point. But, you know, I definitely want to look into the whole idea, because when we talk about women predators, like, you know, a lot of times we don't get into that. We don't, you know, we don't go down that particular path or down that rabbit hole. But, I mean, like, we can say, and I'm not saying that Lizzo's a predator or anything of that sort. You know, I do have a certain agreement. Like, you should know if you're in particular situations, if you don't agree to it, unless someone says you're going to do this, unless you're going to lose your job, which they're not going to say because they know they can get sued, you don't have to do anything that you don't want to do. You know, you don't have to be in a particular situation that you want to be in a particular situation. But self-autonomy, because when people are forced into situations, depending on how they is and their personal psychology and how they feel about the situation, can force them. It's a super slippery slope, you know, especially when she's like, it was very nuanced. That's very hard to prove in court. But as far as predators is, you know, like, there are more, you know, women predators than we're really actually looking at. And, you know, like, in certain countries, across 12 countries, right, which I'm reading from the facts now, that 12% of cases of sexual abuse, the abusers are women, you know. And so we look at, like, Mary Kay Letourneau. We look at different people who are doing certain things where literally older women have come on to other men, women have come on to other women, and things of that sort. You know, a lot of times people, men who have been raped or taken advantage of, have a harder time reporting because, you know, the way that they're perceived up because of that. But, you know, that's a whole other story. We're not going to go down there because we only got 7 minutes left. We only got, and time flew quicker than I thought it could fly. And I laughed so hard today that I wasn't paying attention to shit, so I apologize. I'm sorry. For real, I did not do all the station identifiers because I forgot. Anyway, you know, because of the things that was going on. But I have not laughed so hard, and it's manna for my soul, especially on this day, my brother's birthday. And I'm actually going to do something, you know, soon, you know, I get a chance when I get off of here, which means I'm not going to delay too much longer. But I had some other stuff, but I don't think we're going to be able to get to it because it requires more extensive conversation. But while I'm on here, I want to also shout out the newest Honey Drippers, the brand new heavies that just came through. Shout out to Scott, a.k.a. the Ominous Drops, Competitive Omen. Shout out to the Theologist, Malikia. Shout out to Pressure, a.k.a. Snap. She's not a poet, came on here. Shout out to Queen Simmons, a.k.a. Mahogany Soul, the Enigmatic Soul. Shout out to all y'all for becoming part of this. It's going to be an interesting ride. Love you guys. It's going to be dope. I also want to shout out my people here in War Council, because y'all do, yo, listen, I wish people would really experience our chat. Like, because we be throwing some shit up in the chat. that's like really, really dope. And it's funny. You know, matter of fact, Wendell, what was the last thing that you put in the chat? What is that? What was that thing? Because I can't look at it right now because I shut off the thing so I wouldn't get any interruptions from my thing. So what was the thing? What was the thing, Wendell? What was that?
Oh, like you and Lisa put in another. I had put in just another example of FAFO. A dude, there was a white dude who was talking a lot of smack, you know, on a boat that was being, you know, captained by a black man, and basically, you know, a whole boy was trying to, you know, exercise some white privilege, and now they were out at sea, you know, there was some distance away from the shore. And the captain was like, listen, you need to get off this boat. I'm telling you right now to get off of this boat. And the man was like, well, what do you mean get off this boat? How am I going to get off this boat? We're not next to the land. And the captain came and tipped him and threw him over the edge. Threw him over the side.
Real quick, too.
And
his boy.
and he started screaming and hollering like, that man threw me off of the boat. And the captain said, and you can't get back on either.
That's crazy. That's crazy. But you see it. You see crazy stuff all the time. You know, with privilege. Like you know, it's a wild thing to see it. But you know, it's like when I was flying back out. Right, and so I have a like, you know, I have a seat towards the, you know, the aisle seat because, you know, I'm big bone, you know, big bone, large, wide, you know, I need my space, you know, and so I can lean out. So the crazy thing is, right, so these two come in, they get in the thing, and then their friend comes, and she's like, do you mind if we switch seats? I was like, no, I'm not switching seats. I said, I need this seat. And she was looking all disappointed, like she really expected me to give up my seat. You know, but flying home, right, literally and figuratively, this woman cuddled herself with the fat underneath my arm. Now, I didn't know what to think. Like, I thought I was bugging. Like, I was like, I'm bugging. You know, I was like, I'm bugging out, right? And I got my neck pillow. I'm leaned on the neck pillow. I'm leaned up against the wall. And this woman really is settling herself in underneath my arm. And I'm like, nah, you got to be kidding me, right? But she really kept doing it. Like she, and it was like I kept moving over, and I'm like in the corner, right? I was in the corner on the way back. I was in, I forgot, was it the EC or something like that. I was like, yo, she's really snuggling herself with the fat underneath my arm. Like she's really doing it. And then when it came time to get up, like, she wouldn't get up. She really just sat there, and then she was looking forward like she was in a trance. I was like, there's something wrong with people. I was like, yo, how privileged you must be to want to snuggle. I know I snuggled. But I was like, yo, I was bugging out. I've never seen that happen before. But that being said, listen, fantastic ride. War Council will be back. We're going to have a nice little structure for the shows. We're going to be doing a dual cast. I'll explain that coming up because, you know, people want to see our faces, want to know who we are, want to know certain things. So I'll be doing certain things a little bit different so people can do that because people want to engage with the personalities because all they hear is our former voices. But that being said, Ben is off this thing. We got 60 seconds. It's a camp day. I got to do a ritual. I got to do a whole bunch of stuff that's going on. That's happening, but I want to thank everybody for coming out. Thank you for coming to Epiphany Radio Universal for Real Entertainment Network. It was a fantastic show. I love everything. I laugh everything. Y'all make my heart sore. I appreciate you. I love you. You guys are the best. You're wonderful. All right, and that being said, you know, we're going to click off in approximately 20 seconds. So everybody else, say your goodbyes. Everything else is going on. We'll be back next month with War Council. With some incredibly dope stuff, you know. We're going to do some amazing things because we always do here on War Council. So
So,
all right.
Love
y'all.
Well, good
night,
everybody.
10 seconds.
Peace.
Right.
Lift, shout out to Aquaman.
Lift every chair and swing.
Do it.
Yes, take us out, Diva. Take us out.
Ring. Swing with the heart.
Say it out. Say it out. Huh? Put your hand over your heart. Hand over your heart.
Let this chair rise. Hit you
I'm standing up.
As I put your ass in the sea. When a song full of hope that it should knock your ass out. All right, good night, y'all.
Good night.